Blog Talk Radio.
Church boy!
This don't make no sense, Sean.
Hey.
I hope
hey.
I bring you glory on this
hey.
One, Father.
Hey.
Help me now.
Woman, this is Pastor Rebecca Simmons. As always, it's a blessing and an honor to be here with you. God is good and truly worthy to be praised. I love him, I love him, I love him with everything in me. We have a slight change in the broadcast on today. Co-pastor Anita Spaulding was not able to be with us on today. Pray her strength in the Lord. She had the flu last week, and when I spoke with her on yesterday, she wasn't able to speak without coughing. So we are going to reschedule her for a later date. But I'm excited about her coming on to be with us here on Woman to Woman. Today, though, I'm going to be opening up the phone line. I have written five books. I have written five books, Nobody's Business, The Cry of a Woman's Heart, Healing the Pain of the Past, Traveling the Road to Victorious Living, That's one book. Pump Up the Power, Get the Life You Want, Daddy Love, and Don't Die in the Wilderness. And today I'm going to be speaking about relationships. I'm going to be speaking about love, life, a victory in Jesus, your spirituality, everything pertaining to your having victory in life. Amen. So we're going to talk about power, because you do know that you have the power for success. You have the power for victory, and there is no weapon formed against you that can prosper. So I'm going to be my own guest today. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to talk about some of the items, some of the issues that the Lord has allowed me to write about in my books. And so often I highlight other authors and other people, and I really don't take the time to talk about the works that the Lord has allowed me to do. But today is going to be a special day, because I am privileged to be able to share with you from my heart today. Amen. How's that? Is that all right? Amen and praise God. So we're going to move forward. We're going to have an open phone line for those of you who have read my books. You'll be able to call in and talk to me about Nobody's Business or The Cry of a Woman's Heart, Don't Die in the Wilderness, or Pump Up the Power. Daddy Love is not in print right now, but all of the rest of the books are available on my website at nccmonline.org, or you can go to amazon.com or barnesandnoble.com. I believe that the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to the body of Christ on this week, and especially during this season, that we are in position during this 2011, we are in position to receive supernatural, exponential blessings from heaven. And I didn't say that just to rhyme, but what I'm saying is that if we, the people of God, will line up with the plan of God for this season, that we are in position to receive the blessings of God. Amen. So we're going to move forward. I believe the Lord is going to speak during this time, and we're going to really have a great time today. Amen. If you can't stay the whole 2 hours, I'll be opening up the phone lines in about 30, 40 minutes. But if you can't stay the whole time, I encourage you to come back and listen to the archives, because I just feel something in my spirit that something is going to happen on today. So much went on by way of malfunctions. I have a new phone, so I was just sitting here trying to get my Bluetooth connected to the phone, and I didn't make that happen, so I'm actually on speakerphone right now. I pray that everybody can hear me and can hear me clearly. And also, I was trying to send out a text like I normally do every week to my listeners, and I wasn't able to do that either. So I know that where there is warfare, there is much to be gained. Amen. So if you're in the war right now, then know that God has a great plan for your life, and he's getting ready to do something in your life. So don't fret. What I tell you right now, in the middle of warfare, in the middle of whatever you're going through, go ahead and praise God. Go ahead and praise him in spite of the trouble. As a matter of fact, because of the trouble, you want to praise God. Because God, just like he did with Jehoshaphat and the other Israelites, just like he did with Jehoshaphat and Jerusalem and Judah, God will go before you and take care of your enemies. Your praise will go before you. When Jehoshaphat heard that the Moabites and the Ammonites and those from Mount Seir were coming against him, what Jehoshaphat did was he felt his face, he worshiped God, he fasted, he prayed the Lord. Amen. He and the tribe of Judah and Jerusalem, they praised God. And even as they were going forward, the prophet told them, don't be afraid. He said, this battle is not yours, but it is the Lord's. And as they went forward, into the battleground. They just had to show up, because when they got there and they were going forward with praise with a loud voice. See, some of us are too timid in our praise. Some of us have allowed the devil to take our praise. But they went forward with a loud voice. And as they went forward with a loud voice, the Ammonites and the Moabites and the people from Mount Seir turned against each other, and they killed each other. So all that they walked up into were dead bodies. They walked up into dead bodies with wealth, with much wealth, and they were able to get the spoils. Amen. It took them 4 days. Do you hear me? It took them 4 days to get their stuff. I'm telling you, if the devil has your stuff tied up, somebody else has your stuff, go ahead and praise God. If the enemy's holding up your blessing, go ahead and praise God, and believe me, it will take you days to receive everything that God has for you. Amen. It took them 4 days to gather up the spoils. Amen. So we have to know that God has a great plan for our lives, and I believe that God is just really speaking to the people of God. And if we would just position ourselves, then we are ready to receive what God has for us. Amen. Amen and praise God. Let us pray. Father God, we praise your holy name. We worship you, and we thank you for this time that you're allowing us to come together. I thank you for everybody in the chat room, for Gazelle and for Pastor Larry, for the guests, amen, for those who are streaming, those who are listening via the archives. I thank you for each and every person. I thank you for my mother, May Thomas, and my husband, Pastor Anthony Simmons. I thank you for those who have called in on the switchboard, oh Lord, and those who will call in during this broadcast. Lord, I ask that you use me to your glory. Have your way, God. Let your will be done during this time. Bless co-pastor Anita Spaulding as she recuperates from the flu. I thank you that by your stripes she is healed, that there is a balm in Gilead, and Lord, that you have released your healing power already. We sing your word to heal her right now, in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, have your way. Let your will be done. And at the end of this time, we will be ever so certain to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. And it's in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, that we pray. Amen and praise God. Well, God bless you. God bless you, everybody. Thank you for tuning in today to Women to Women. God truly is up to something. When you are down to nothing, believe, you have to believe that God is up to something. I wrote about it in my book, Don't Cry, Don't Die in the Wilderness, that when you're at your worst, when you're going through the wilderness, when you're going through the trials and tribulations, then you can just very much know that God is at work behind the scenes. Romans 8:28, God says, and we know that in all things God works together for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. So if you love God and you are part of the kingdom, you have been called according to his purpose, know that no matter what you're going through, that God is in the middle of that situation, working all things out for your good. There's no war, no battle, no struggle that you can go through that you have to go through alone. Because the Lord says in the book of Hebrews, he said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you, but lo, I am always with you. So I want to encourage you on today to just keep on pressing forward. Paul said, I have not obtained that thing for which I'm preaching to you about. And Paul did some preaching. As you know, he wrote the Pauline letters in the Bible. And Paul did a lot of preaching, but what we have to realize is that Paul had never gotten to the point where he had arrived. He says, I have not yet arrived. He said, but yet I press. My God, I press ever forward, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forward to the things for which I have been called heavenward in Christ Jesus. You have to know that you have been called in Christ Jesus for a purpose. Ephesians 2:10 says that there are good works that have been prepared in advance for you to do. God has prepared good works in advance for you to do. He told Jeremiah in the book of Jeremiah chapter 1, he said, when I formed you in your mama's womb, he said, while I
formed you, before you even were born, before you came to be, he said, I knew you. You know, I put you together, like David says, I knit you together. God knit you together. He formed you in your mother's belly, in your mother's womb. And while he was forming you, while God yet had his hands on you, he was forming and shaping your purpose into your life. God was shaping your purpose, and he knew. He put your purpose on the inside of you. Amen. So God already knew in advance what it was that you were going to be doing today. Whatever you're doing today, whether you're in the fivefold ministry, whether you're working as an usher, working as a praise team leader or a worshiper in the church, whether you're working as a doctor, a lawyer, a veterinarian, a fire chief, whatever it is, a courier, whatever it is that God has you doing, whether you're an administrative assistant, whatever you're doing today, or even if you're a parent, raising godly children, amen, whatever it is that you're doing today, God already knew in advance when he was shaping and molding you that he was going to have you doing what you are doing today, because you are created for his glory, amen. So that's why the Bible tells us to do whatever we do, do it as unto the Lord, amen. So I want to encourage somebody on today. God saw the best in you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I felt that. God saw the best in you when everybody else saw the worst in you, amen. When everybody else was counting you out, when they were, you know, counting to 10, you had been knocked down by life, and you were counting to 10, and everybody else was shaking their head saying, she's not going to make it, he ain't going to make it. When everybody else was being a naysayer in your life and telling you what you could not achieve, God already had seen the best in you. Not only did he see the best in you, but he put the best in you, amen. As he was developing and shaping you in your mother's womb, he put the best in you. And that's why he was able to see it when nobody else could see it. When everybody else was talking about you, God was looking at you, watching over his word to make sure that it was going to come to fruition, amen. Like he told Jeremiah, I'm watching over my word to perform it. I tell you, we serve an awesome God. And no matter what you're going through in life, you know, you have to just keep this in the forefront of your mind. Get that word in your belly. Get it in your mind. Get it in your mouth. Amen. And know that there's a great plan for you and that God cannot fail. You can fail. I can fail as long as we're not walking with God and not believing the word and not knowing that we can have the best life ever right here on earth. We can fail, but God cannot fail. Amen. Get that word. Hold on to the word. Get your word for your life and hold on to that word and move forward knowing that God is going to get the victory in your life. Amen. Amen and praise God. I want to talk a little bit about my books. I want to talk about Nobody's Business. As you all know, I am a pastor, co-pastor with my husband, Pastor Anthony Simmons. Pastor Anthony Simmons, a great teacher of the word, my wonderful, wonderful husband. He is our senior pastor. I co-pastor with him, amen, at New Creation Christian Ministries. And we're at 87 First Street in Elizabeth, New Jersey. And we meet every Sunday at 11 o'clock a.m. And it is a place where we praise God. I'm not talking about a performance. You know, I'm not talking about just getting there and making a lot of noise, but we're really reverencing God and worshiping him and praising him because of who he is and what he has done for us, and because he is worthy, we praise him. Amen. So we enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and we enter his courts with praise. Amen. And we go in, the people of God assembled on one accord, because that is the only way we're going to manifest the fire of God, the glory of God. We want to experience a Pentecostal experience every time we come together, and the only way we can do that is by being on one accord, amen, and being in prayer and praising God.
So I pastored that church with my husband. But before I thought about preaching, before I thought about pastoring, I thought about writing, because God put that on the inside of me. And the first book that I wrote was Nobody's Business. Now, I wrote Nobody's Business. I don't know how many people have read Nobody's Business, but Nobody's Business is a novel. And it's a novel about a woman who she is a counselor, and she works at a women's crisis center. And every day she deals with women who are having issues in their lives. There's one woman being beaten by her husband. There's another woman who goes in and out of a bad relationship. There's another woman in the book who has a split personality. There's another woman in the book who has very low self-esteem. There's women who's dealing with alcohol abuse, drug abuse. There are so many women coming in with so many different issues. But Clara has a lot of issues of her own. She's in a relationship with a guy who wants to get married, but she's actually shacking up. Clara is shacking up with Jason, and Jason wants to marry her. But Clara cannot marry Jason, and she continually pushes him away. So this book, Nobody's Business, is just so powerful, because one day Clara has to come face-to-face with her own self. Have you ever had to come face-to-face with your own self? Amen. So she has to come face-to-face with her own self, and you know, I'm not going to tell the end of the book, because I really want you to read the book, and you can find it on the page of the show page. You can just click on that and go and get your copy. But this book is being used now in a book club, the Women's Empowerment Book Club, called First Lady Diana Flagg started a book club, and they're using Nobody's Business. That was their first book. Now they're on The Cry of a Woman's Heart. So they selected two of my books. Praise God. Hallelujah for this book club. But, you know, the thing that I'm amazed about with Nobody's Business is that when I first wrote the book, again, I wasn't a preacher, I wasn't a pastor, I wasn't a prophet. I was that. It was inside of me. It had not been made manifest yet. Amen. But I was sitting in the pews when I wrote Nobody's Business, and I wanted to, the Lord gave me the book. He told me to write it. It's not a super spiritual book. It doesn't have any scripture in it. But this book now, when I first wrote the book, it was not embraced by the church. It was embraced by people who didn't go to church, you know, people who were not that spiritual. And I did book clubs all over. I did the book club in Virginia. I did one, you know, I did book clubs in, I went to Florida with Nobody's Business. And I did a lot of book clubs. But it was not, like I said, the church didn't really embrace the book. Now, 8 years later, the church, this empowerment, Women's Empowerment Book Club, started reading the book. And I am getting testimonies from all over. The church now is catching on fire with this book, Nobody's Business, and women are being delivered. It is just such an amazing thing to do, because that was God's plan. I hope you heard me. I pray that you hear me right now. I wrote that book 8 years ago in 2003. And here we are in 2011, and people are reading the book, and they're being set free in their minds. In the book, I talk about molestation and abandonment. I talk about so many different things in the book. And women now are coming out, and they're talking about the fact that they have been molested. Women are talking about the fact that they have been raped. Women now are talking about the fact that their fathers abandoned them and that they never got over it. And even if they have not been molested or raped or abandoned, something happened in their childhood that brought them to such a place of devastation that they thought they could never make it. And they carried this bitterness and this shame and this guilt in their hearts, and to the point where they could not function properly. That's called dysfunction. And they were having bad relationships. Let me tell you something.
in nobody's business. I talk about women who are having bad relationships. They're in a state of dysfunction because they have had some form of abuse. I talk about all kinds of stuff. But it's a story. I tell this story. But Clara, the main character, her issue is so, my God, it gets to the point when Clara's issue is revealed, then she gets her breakthrough because Clara was in denial of her own issue. And that happens to so many of us that we get to the point in life where we, I heard a sister say this in church last week, we function with the pain. We get used to the pain. So Clara had gotten used to the pain, and so many of us get used to the pain, but Clara didn't really get used to the pain because she was an alcoholic. She was a secret alcoholic, and she didn't really get used to the pain because she was angry at Jason, and she was pushing Jason away. So, in other words, she was functioning in dysfunction. Amen. And that's where so many women in the church are today. And so many men, I'm not going to leave men out because men cry in the dark too. I wrote that in my last book, Don't Die in the Wilderness. We have to get to the point where we stop functioning in dysfunction. Listen, if you have been hurt, if you've been wounded, if you've been broken, busted, disgusted, if you have gone through anything in your life, you have to get to the point where you look at that thing and you recognize the impact that it has had on your life. You have to face it in order to fix it. You cannot continue to go through life crippled. I have a chapter in my book, The Cry of a Woman's Heart. Who broke you? Who dropped the ball on you? Who was responsible for that pain that you're carrying around on the inside? And so many of us are wearing a mask now, men and women, and we're wearing this mask and we're pretending to be somebody that we're not, while we're scared to be who we were really created to be. And it's time for you to take off the mask. It's time for you to deal with the pain. Look at that thing. Listen, I talked to a sister this week who had been let go on her job. And, you know, for the first time, she's really facing the fact that she's suffering in her self-esteem as a result of being let go from the job. Come on, somebody. Do you know that things that happen to you in life have an impact on you? I talked to another sister whose husband is abusive. He calls her all kinds of bees and hoes. And come on, that's another story, because you know, woman of God, that you're not a bee and you're not a hoe. You know, you're not to be called out of your name. And if a brother is disrespecting you like that, then that's not love. Amen. God bless you. Good to see you, Pastor Vasquez. That is not love. Amen. But it has an impact on you. When you marry a man or when you marry a woman and you think you met the person of your dreams and you find out they have all these secrets in the closet. There's a book that I have yet to write. I had some pain in my first marriage. My husband, my ex-husband, had all of these secrets in the closet. And one day I was cleaning out the closet. Come on, somebody. You're going to find a whole lot of stuff when you clean out the closet. And one day I was cleaning out the closet, and I found gay porn. I found pornography, but it wasn't pornography with a man and a woman. It was pornography with two men, with men, lots of men. And I got disgusted, you know, to my stomach. And this is not me saying anything about homosexuals, you know. I mean, we know that's not right in God's eyes. Amen. The Bible says it's an abomination. Amen. If you're struggling with that, or if you're not struggling with that, that's not what this show is about. Amen. But because God, many of you know that God will deal with our sin. I said it. God will deal with our sin. You know, we so often highlight one sin over another. We'll pick a sin and we'll say, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, as long as it's not my sin, I'll talk about it. But listen, Jesus came for all sin. Amen. He came to free us from all sin. Jesus came to free us from sin, sickness, Satan and death. Amen. And he nailed that mess to the cross. So I'm gonna get back to that. Somebody remind me to get back to that. But I found these magazines in my ex-husband's duffel bag, my God, in my closet, because he was in the National Guard, a manly man. I was upset. There was nothing feminine about him, but, you know, he was very meticulous in the way he dressed and walked and talked. And some people might have said that they might have suspected that he was gay, but I didn't. Amen. And I found this in his closet, and he came in the door, and I was sitting on the floor, and I had the magazines around me because it was more than one. And he walked in the door, and he was like, "Beck, what's wrong? What's wrong?" And I was crying. I mean, you talk about a well of tears. And I looked at him. Excuse me, I don't want to offend anybody, but I looked at him, and I was crying. And I was like, "You're a faggot," you know. And he came over, and he said, "No, I'm not." I just like reading the articles. I don't even look at the pictures, you know. And I was like, oh, my God. You know, I was devastated, you know. And this thing broke me. It really did. On top of the fact that I was already broken, this thing really broke me, you know, to think that, you know, this man had all of these secrets. You know, tell somebody, you know, if you're dealing with that and that's your choice, don't get into a relationship with a woman or a man, and that's not what you want. You want something opposite. You know, deal with that. You know, don't be honest. You know, don't fool people. Don't, you know, don't come to me and you're a man and act like you want me, a woman, but you really want a man. You know, people are dying out there. Come on, y'all. Come on, somebody. You can get AIDS, and you can give somebody AIDS, and that person can die. If you're a man and you like men and you're on the down low and you're sneaking around with other men and you have a wife, you go and marry a woman, and you come home and you're intimate with your wife, you can give your wife AIDS, and she can die. You know, and she's innocent. She's an innocent bystander. Amen. Come on, somebody. She's an innocent bystander, and she does not deserve to die. Listen. That's why we have to know about sin. Our sin does not just kill us, but it kills the people that we love. Amen. So the end of sin is death. Come on, somebody. And, like, again, I'm not picking on this. This is my experience. I'm just talking about this issue because I had this experience. And it didn't just break. You know, thank God I don't have AIDS. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I could be dead because of some man's foolishness. Come on, somebody. Now, there's no proof other than the fact that he watched, like, these magazines, because he never admitted to me that he was gay. He denied it until the very end. You hear what I'm saying? He denied it until the very end. He still denies it. He's with a woman today. You see what I'm saying? But come on. We have to realize that our choices impact other people. Come on, somebody. And I thank God. I tell you, it's nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus that kept me alive, that has me healthy. I'll be 50. This was over 20 years ago. I was in my 20s, early 20s. But I'll be 50 this year. Ha, hallelujah. And they say it takes about 10 years for it to go through your body. So I know I'm clean. I've been tested. I don't have HIV, and I thank God, because I could have died in the wrong relationship. Come on, somebody. Now, how did I end up in this marriage? This man didn't want to marry me. He wanted to be in a relationship with me. I might have been his cover girl, but I ended up married to him because, A, I had low self-esteem. B, I was needy. C, I was desperate. D, I was crazy, you know. I was misled. F, I was deceived. And this, G, I was deceiving myself. Amen. I hope somebody kept track of those, because I sure did. But what I'm saying to you is when we are dropped, when we go through something tragic, something traumatic in our childhood, or even later on in life, it has an impact on how we do life. Amen. It has an impact on our relationships. And that's what I do in my books. I'm going to open up the phone lines. But I just wanted to just give that testimony and just really talk about nobody's business. Clara had a secret. Amen. Clara had an issue from childhood that she was not dealing with and that she was not facing it. And because of it, she was not able to have good, healthy relationships. I had an issue from childhood and you know, my not liking my father. My father and mom broke up when I was young. All of that stuff, you know, the things that I saw, all of that had an impact on me growing up, and I had issues as a child, and I grew up, and I allowed the pain from my past to mold my present, amen, and to shape my future, amen. But I thank God for deliverance. I thank God for healing, amen. And that's so now that I've been healed and strengthened, I go back and I help other people through my books. So nobody's business, it starts with that. That book healed me. Nobody's business healed me, and other women are being healed. The Cry of a Woman's Heart is a book that I wrote after Nobody's Business. It's nonfiction, and it deals with all of the issues that we have as women. Pump Up the Power, now that the pain is healed, you can pump up the power and go to the next level. Daddy Love, Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places, another novel. And finally, Don't Die in the Wilderness. Don't Die in the Wilderness is my book for right now. I've healed the pain of the past. Once you got the pain of the past healed, once you are not any longer looking for love in all of the wrong places, once you get rid of those secrets and allow God to fix everything that needs to be fixed on the inside of you, then you are ready for the wilderness, amen, because God's going to shape you and form you and develop you to be that vessel of honor, amen, so that you can go forth and bring the gospel to the nations. And that's where I am right now, amen. The call, once you get the call on your life, you're going to go through the wilderness, amen, and that wilderness time is sometimes a dry time. Sometimes it's painful because now you're dealing with people, new hurts, you know, people who said that they were your friends and said they would be in your corner, and now they're betraying you. People who said they will always be there for you, but now they're talking about you like a dog and stabbing you in the back. And the same people, the very people that you help, are turning around and kicking you in the teeth, and they're walking out on you, and they're leaving you after you've given everything, and they're not saying thank you. And the same people that you preach to on a weekly basis sit there with their arms folded across their chest, and they're trying to kill your ministry. Come on, somebody. The same people that you used to do ministry with, now they're your enemies, and they're coming against you. So much happens in the wilderness, you know, and the devil, now that he knows you're on your way to greatness, he comes against you with everything that he has. And you have to make up your mind that you are going to continue to move forward with Christ. For Christ you live, for Christ you die. On Christ the solid rock you stand, all of the ground is sinking sand. You have to refuse to quit. You have to refuse to give in to distractions. You have to refuse to go somewhere be tempted to go and hide out in a cave and not deal with life and not do what God is calling you to do. Be encouraged. Be encouraged, because the wilderness is a place, it's a good place, amen. It doesn't feel good, but it's a good place, amen. And like Pastor Larry says, it's always good to be tested, amen. He did get tested as well, and he's still here, and he came out with more power, amen. And sin will get you killed, he says, and sin will get you killed, and He says 50 is good. Amen. Praise God. You're right, Pastor Larry. 50 is good because I'm coming out stronger, better, and wiser. And guess what? I'm getting ready to blow my own mind because 50 is my 3 John 2 year. Amen. 3 John 2 says, "Beloved, I pray that you would prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers." Amen. So this is my year for prosperity, total prosperity. This is my year to be in good health. This is my year to work out, to eat right, to get the proper amount of sleep. And I want to challenge, I'm going to start a 3 John 2 group. Amen. And I want to challenge as many people as possible to join me this year to prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prosper. This is my year for success in every single area of my life. Amen. This is my year. Amen. So I'm ready. 50 is going to be a good year. It's going to be a great year. 49 is already proven to be a wonderful year. Amen. Well, I'm going to open up the phone lines. I want to share with you, just before I open up the phone lines, an acronym that I have for FAIL, Why Relationships Fail. Why Relationships Fail. The F is for fear. Relationships fail because of fear. The Bible tells us that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of love, power, and a sound mind. Relationships fail because we're scared. We're scared of the unknown, scared of how the person is going to perceive us, scared of being who God created us to be, scared of showing the person that we're in relationship with who we really are because they might reject us. They might not like the real me. Am I talking to anybody? Fear of the unknown, fear of failing. Is another reason that relationships fail, that fear word. Fear comes and it grips you, and fear can make you act real crazy. Amen. Fear can make you reject a good man or kick a good man or a good woman to the curb because you're scared that you're not good enough for them. So the F is for fear. The A is for acceptance of other people's opinion of you. So you begin to accept what other people say about you and acceptance of what the devil says about you. How many of you know that the devil is a liar and the truth is not in him? Acceptance of other people's opinion of you. Other people may have told you you were ugly or unattractive. They might have said you were too skinny, too fat, too short, too tall. They might have said, other people might have told you were not anointed enough, not smart enough. People might have said that you were a dog. They might have called you a bee or a hoe. You know, other people have talked about you. Maybe your mother said you were no good, just like your father, or your father said you were no good, just like your mother. Other people's opinions. There's a danger when you begin to accept what other people say about you. Amen. So acceptance of other people's opinions, and that's really the lies of the devil, okay, begin to play in your head. Now the devil's lying to you in your head, and you're believing the devil's lies. Amen. So the I is for insufficient information about who you really are. You know, if you really want to know who you are, go to the Word of God. The Bible tells you that you're wonderfully and fearfully made. David says in Psalm 139, "I praise you, O God, for I'm wonderfully and fearfully made. I praise you for the work of your hands. I praise you for the work of your hands." Again, we talked about God molding and shaping you. He says, "For I am wonderfully and fearfully made, and that I know full well." David had sufficient information about who he really was. And you need to have sufficient information about who you really are. What has God said about you? You know, God says that you're the apple of his eye, that he loves you, that you're engraved on the palm of his hand. God says that he has a great plan for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope in the future. God says that he created you for his glory, amen. He created you not only to praise him, but that he would get the praise out of your life. And not only did he create you for his glory, but he created you in his image. Come on, somebody. He formed you and created you. He said, let us make man. They said, let us make man in our image. Let us make man in our image. Amen. In our image, the image of God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, worthy of honor and respect. My God, worthy of honor and respect, worthy to be treated with respect, treated with honor. Amen. Hallelujah. You're not junk. God doesn't make junk. My father didn't make no junk. Amen. Hallelujah. Insufficient information about who you really are. Now you're a royal priesthood. Come on, somebody. You're in the kingdom of God, so now you're a royal priesthood. You know, you're royalty. Huh? You probably didn't even know you were royalty. When's the last time you thought about the fact that you are royalty? Come on, kingdom folk. We're in the kingdom, not as servants. We're servants, but not as what do they have in the kingdom? I can't, the word's escaping me, but we are part of the royal priesthood. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Royalty. So the I is for insufficient information about who you really are. And the L, I'm going to take some calls. You can begin to call in 646-652-4832. The L is for learned behavior. Uh-huh. Come on, somebody. Learned behavior, what you learn from mama and them, what you learn from daddy and them, Bobo and them, auntie and uncle and them, amen. Your big brother, your big sister, learned behavior, what you learn from Erica Kane, huh? Oh, God, I hope I don't get sued on the, what is she on, The Young and the Restless, One Life to Live, I don't know, help me somebody. It's been years since I watch soap operas. My mother tells me they took them off the air now, but Erica has been around for a long time, and we learned a lot from her, how to lie, how to cheat, how to steal somebody else's man, how to smile at somebody while you stabbed them in the back and betrayed them. Come on, somebody. How to sleep around with men that were not our husbands. Come on, somebody. We learned a lot from the soap operas. Learned behavior. Learned behavior is another reason that relationships fail. I learned a lot of stuff. I learned how to stay in a relationship where I was being beaten up beside my head. Come on, somebody. But I thank God, and I tell you about my mother right now. My mother is a powerful woman of God, and when I was growing up, my mother and my father fought. Not because my mother wanted to fight, but because my father, God bless his soul, wanted to fight, and my mother fought back. My mother would fight him back. So they would rumble, amen, and mommy would put on the dark shades and the makeup, and I thought it was because my mom was really cool. But what I didn't realize is that my mom was hiding her scars because she didn't want us to see her scars, amen. And I thank God that my mother did not stay in that relationship, that she got sick and tired of being sick and tired, and she got out. Amen. We were talking about that last week. You don't have to, or the week before, you don't have to stay in a relationship where you're being abused. Get out and stay out. Amen. So I just give a big shout out to my mother for the example that she put before me. Now, I did think that fighting was love. So I did want to fight Pastor Anthony when we first got together, but, you know, people perish for lack of knowledge. But when I learned that love was not violent, and when I learned that my mom left my dad, one of the main reasons was because she did not appreciate the man that he was, and she wanted to protect her children, I gained a great respect for my mom. Because so many women don't leave, they stay, and they subject their kids to all kinds of nonsense. But I thank God for the woman who said, no, I'm protecting myself, I'm protecting my kids, and I'm leaving. Now, my father later on came to know Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. He apologized to his wife and his children. So, you know, and I thank God that he is resting with the Lord. I mean, that he's with the Lord now. But we went through some stuff in our family, amen, and I write about it in all of my books, you know, but I don't write about it to tell a story only. I write about it to tell a story so that you can read the story and so you can read it and see my victory and know that you too can get the victory, amen. You can have the victory. You don't have to be broken, busted, and disgusted, looking for love and all the wrong places, sick and tired of being sick and tired, messed up in your mind, messed up in your money, messed up in your sex life, you know, sleeping around with Tom, Dick, Sally, and Rashid and Rabu, amen, hanging out with Bobo and them, and you know that they are not the people that you need to be keeping company with, waiting for people to validate you. You don't have to live like that. You know, God validates you. And when you get that, when you really get that, you can really walk into some full victory. So that's my acronym for FAIL, fear, acceptance of other people's opinions of yourself, insufficient information about who you really are, and learned behavior. And we can reverse the curse, amen. We can reverse the curse by turning all of that stuff around, not being afraid, moving forward in courage, rejecting other people's opinion, rejecting the devil's testimony, getting the information that you need to know about who you really are, gaining knowledge. It says get wisdom, the Bible says get wisdom, but in all of your getting, get understanding. Don't just read the Bible. Get some wisdom and get some understanding of what God is really saying in his word. I got to open up the phone lines. And finally, unlearn those old behaviors. I'm not talking about that you learn from mama and them and daddy and them. I don't want to talk about nobody's mama, nobody's daddy, but you know some of that stuff just ain't right. Amen. Get rid of that old stuff. Amen. Hallelujah. So that's my acronym for FAIL. Hallelujah. I want to thank everybody who's here. Amen. Pastor Larry Sarton, Gazelle Simmons, Pastor Isabel Vasquez, our guest 9266, everybody in the chat room, everybody on the phone lines already, the phone lines are open. I didn't send out my text, so I know a lot of people are probably missing the broadcast on today, but just for that reason, you can go ahead and mark this as you want to follow this show. Click the follow button on my page and follow the show. You will get a reminder in your mailbox. Make it a favorite, amen. You will get a reminder that I'm on the air, amen. And next week we have a guest, Apostle Karen Detweiler, who literally lost all of the blood in her body, amen. And the Lord kept her alive through his blood. You don't want to miss that. Co-Pastor Anita Spaulding will be with us in the future. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons with Women to Women, and I'm opening up the phone lines. If you're listening to me live, you can call in now, 646-652-4832. I would love to talk with you. Amen. And I was just talking about some of my books, Nobody's Business, The Cry of a Woman's Heart, Healing the Pain of the Past, Traveling the Road to Victorious Living, Pump Up the Power, and Don't Die in the Wilderness. Those books are available at my website at nccmonline.org. There is great ministry in those books. You will find power. You will not believe the testimonies that I'm getting about people who are reading Nobody's Business now and getting healing and getting deliverance, learning how to forgive. You have to forgive. Let me say that again. You have to forgive. Amen. You have to forgive. Unforgiveness will keep you in the prison. Amen. If somebody hurt you, go ahead, set yourself free and forgive them. Amen. Set yourself free. Read my books. I'm telling you, you don't want to pass up the opportunity to read the books that I have written. And to God be the glory. I'll be preaching a revival. I want you to go to my website. In a couple of days, I'll have it posted. This will be my first three-day revival. I've been invited to be a revivalist for the first time with co-pastor Anita Spaulding over at the Ark of Safety, and that will be the end of March. I am looking forward to, I believe it's the 25th, 26th, and 27th. Amen. We are going to be going before the throne. Amen. And it's going to be a powerful time. Check my calendar towards the end of next week, and I'll have that information posted. If you're in the New Jersey area, please plan to be there. And also, come on out and worship with us at New Creation Christian Ministries, 87 First Street, Elizabeth, New Jersey. I'll also be preaching at a conference on the first week of April, April the 1st and the 2nd, with Prophetess Lalisa J. Williams, a former prostitute. She was on our show last week, and I want to I'll have that information on my account as well on my website next week. And also, I'll be doing a publishing workshop on March the 12th with Ladisa J. Williams. And also, we'll be doing a book club over at the Smokehouse in Rahway, New Jersey on the 12th of March. And we do have so much on our calendars. Our Apostle Matthew Tillery will be with us on March the 12th, on March the 13th. So much is going on in the house of the Lord. God is blessing me to go out and preach this gospel. And in May, I'll be doing another workshop, publishing workshop. I'm excited. I am excited, amen, about what God is doing. Well, let's take some calls. We have a caller here. Listen, I see the callers, and listen, a couple of them are not going to be able to come on the air, so I need you all to call in, 646-652-4832. I'm going to put Pastor Anthony on. I know he's in the car. I just want to put him on the air for a minute. Pastor Anthony Simmons, you're on the air. I know. Have you reached your destination, honey?
No, I have not. There's a lot of people out, and we're actually in some traffic.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I just wanted to put you on the air. I'm my own guest today. I was talking about my books, and I just want to put you on the air and just hear from you on today. I just want to say this publicly, Pastor Anthony, I love you. I really love you. I tell you, we went on a date last night. I had so much fun with you. You are just such a blessing to my life. And I tell you, you call in sometimes and I get real professional, but I just want you to know how much I love you. I respect you. I thank God for you. You are a man of integrity, and you have never let me down, you know, with your walk with the Lord. You have hurt me. I'm sure we've heard each other and some of the arguments that we've had in the past, but that goes with the territory as far as marriage is concerned. You didn't mean to, but you have always been a blessing to me, and even the times when I was hurting as a result of our arguments that we have had, and we haven't had an argument in a long time, I thank God for that, but even when the times when I was hurting, the times that I had to experience hurt, those were times when God made me deal with myself, you know, and I had to see that, you know, I was kind of like contributing to my own pain. And again, that's as a result of not being whole and looking for somebody else to fix you or looking for somebody else to make you happy. So the times when you hurt me, it was me looking for you to fix me, looking for you to make me happy while you were dealing with your own issues. And so, you know, all you could do was strike out and strike back. And it was a mess, you know, but I just thank God for you, you know, that I'm healed, that you're healed, and together that the Lord allowed us to come to total wholeness, and the fact that you're in my life today, and that you're such a good father, and you're a great husband, a wonderful friend, and all of the good stuff, friend, lover, husband, confidant, pastor, leader, you're an awesome leader, great teacher of the word, great preacher, phenomenal preacher. I can go on, but I don't want to, you know, make anybody gag. But I just pray that people are praising God that with the testimony that I gave earlier, that he is a God of second chances.
and he has blessed me with you. Amen. So I just want to say publicly, I love you and I appreciate you.
Man, I'm totally speechless at this point. Amen. But I'm truly humbled by that. You know, we've always been best friends, and we went into the relationship that way. It really helped over the 15 to 7 years that we were best friends, even though we were, you know, opposite genders. We confided and shared some things probably that some married couples and some platonic friendships won't even engage in or encounter. So that turned out to be a wonderful foundation for our marriage. But isn't it amazing, Pastor Rebecca, how 15 years ago, we'll celebrate 15 years this year, that we had
yes.
so much baggage and so many issues, even at the point of saying I do to one another. But isn't God awesome?
Yes.
God is so awesome. And the amazing thing is that we saw Marvin Sapp last night, and, you know, it was just a powerful time out. His songs, the concert, the atmosphere, everything was so wonderful. But the two songs that he's most noted for, Never Would Have Made It, and He Saw the Best in Me, how appropriate those songs are. And as a segue to what you were sharing on your show today, I'm just, you know, amazed sometimes as I see the body of Christ, where so many people, they know the scripture, who the Son has set free is free indeed. And Pastor Rebecca, if the truth was to be told, a lot of people are not free. They're not free because, as you shared, there was a chance, even when you confided in me some deep-rooted things 7 years into our marriage, there was a chance that you could have been rejected by me and by others. And so many people are not free because sometimes there is a chance they will be rejected by their spouse, or they will be rejected by somebody who they esteem and want to keep that respect there from that other individual. So they'll live this shameful lie, or they'll live this shameful secret, and yet God wants us to be free and free indeed.
Yeah.
And oft times, you know, we do put on the mask. We have the career. Sometimes we have the accolades. We have the applause of man. But I was so moved at one time Oprah Winfrey said how something happened in her childhood that is, you know, she thought about it, and it was as fresh as it was years ago. It was fresh in her mind today. Now, who would think somebody like Oprah, with all the success she's had, would still have that kind of bondage over something that happened in the past? And a lot of your books point to the past, but Pastor Rebecca, you know, you said God is a God of second chances, but many people, especially in the body of Christ, have things not only in the past, but things that are current that they really can't shake free from. And that's why you emphasize in your book the healing principles. Because a lot of people,
yeah.
they give their testimony, they share their story, they say they're transparent, but if truth was to be told, many are still dealing with anger, unforgiveness, lust, you know, depression. So many attributes and characteristics many are holding secretly inside, and they're not really free. That's why I thank God for the broadcast, because one thing you do is you get on these airways with real ministry in mind. And a lot of times, that's why at New Creation, if people were to come there, yes, we preach and we squall and you're going to hear praise, but we emphasize we are Bible-believing teaching ministry because we need to be free through the Word of God.
Yes. Yes, amen, amen. And that is the truth. A lot of people who are out here writing books now and sharing testimonies, they're not free yet. And I just want to encourage everybody. Yes, I want to encourage everybody, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We often want to tell our story, but we have to allow God to heal us. You know, I mean, Pastor Larry was saying in the chat room, honey, that he has to have Lady Carol listen to this part where I was giving you, you know, all of the clues and everything like that, where I was talking about how wonderful you are. And he said, this is wonderful. Blessings to Pastor Anthony. And he said he wants his wife to, you know, kind of tune in and listen. And, you know, just jokingly, because they've been married a long time and they're celebrating a wedding anniversary soon. They're actually going to be renewing their vows. So congratulations, Pastor Larry and Lady Carol. It's always good to see couples who are making it. But the truth of the matter is that there is still a very high divorce rate in the church, and that people are getting divorced left and right in the church. Because there is no healing, there is no wholeness. Because in order to learn, in order to forgive your husband or your wife, a lot of people need to go way back and forgive those people that hurt them in the past. You need to forgive your father, forgive your mother, forgive that person that molested you, forgive that person that left you standing at the altar, forgive that person that has some secrets in the closet, like my first husband, like my ex-husband. You got to forgive the people who have hurt you in the past. And you might say to yourself that they don't deserve to be forgiven, and you might be right. Let me just say this. I write about this in The Cry of a Woman's Heart. When I talk about forgiveness, you might say that the person that hurt you does not deserve to be forgiven. And you might be right. They may not deserve to be forgiven, but you deserve to be free. Did you hear me? I pray that somebody caught that. They might not deserve to be forgiven, but you do deserve to be free. And as long as you are holding that anger against them, you are holding yourself in bondage to the pain of your past. You got to let that thing go, baby. You know, I don't know what they did to you, you know, and it does matter. I'm not going to say I don't care what they did to you, because it matters what they did to you. But I want to let you know that that thing no longer has the power to hold you from moving forward to being, doing, and having all that God has created you to be, do, and have. Your future is waiting for you, and you cannot walk into the fullness of your future as long as you're holding on to some joker, some moron. I'm sorry, I get mad sometimes. Some person, some foolish person that hurt you in the past. Go, allow yourself to get angry about it, but don't stay angry. Don't stay angry. Forgive them. Let it go. Does that mean that you have to go back and be in relationship with that person? Absolutely not. It just means that you are releasing that person, you are releasing your anger, and you're allowing God to heal the hurt. Amen. Hallelujah. So give it up, you know, and give it up for Pastor Larry and his wife. 21 years. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 21 years. And this man has a testimony, too. I pray. I'm going to see if I can get him on the air. But give up the anger. You don't, it's not yours. You've been holding on to it long enough. It doesn't belong to you. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. The battle is not yours. I talked about that at the beginning of the show. Give it to God. Listen, you are stopping you. No, you don't know what they did, because he did this, he ruined my life. She did that, she ruined my life. No, they impacted your life. But if you allow yourself to hold on to that anger, you are ruining. You are the one that's ruining your life. You have to let it go. I just have to say it like that. Let it go. Forgive that person. Does it mean you have to go and have coffee with them and talk to them on the phone every day, or even go and see them, allow them to come to your house? No. No, you don't. You choose whether or not you want to be in relationship with them. And if they have not repented, then no, you don't want to be in relationship with them. But if they are repented, then you pray and you ask God, can I be in relationship with this person? Is it a wise move? But if they're unrepentant and you don't feel like being in a relationship, or if they have repented and they're not your husband or your wife, and you don't feel like, or your mother or your father, and you don't feel like being in a relationship with that person, then that's between you, that person, and God. Pastor Emily, did I make that clear? I don't know. Do you have anything to add to that?
No, that was powerful, what you just said. Because many people, as you said, again, we have the words, but God is amazing. God judges the heart. And we do things, even, I said the power of the tongue. I've been talking about, as James said, no one can tame the tongue. And it's been a unique praise in our church because people really have been set free and people have really been edified and encouraged. And the Spirit of God has really set some folk free at New Creation. So we've seen the power of God, not just through the miraculous, but in the tangible things, because God really wants our marriages to be well and whole and make, and families to be functional, as you said, not dysfunctional. So one of the things that we put before our children now and others is a healthy, well-balanced marriage, and God is into restoring families and marriage. So if we allow God room in our lives through the power of the Holy Ghost, He's no respecter of persons. He will come in and do what He needs to do. Because as you said at the outset, that there are some husbands and wives abusing each other with their tongues. There are some children who are totally disrespectful towards parents. There are some men and women of God who really don't seem sure about their walk with God. They're wavering in their faith. They're doubting God, and they're second-guessing their walk with God. As you said, Romans 8:28 says, those who love God and those who have been called, glory be to God, according to His purpose. Many are called, few are chosen. And if you're a believer, women of God who are listening to this broadcast, you are called by God. But God don't want us to be sick in doing ministry.
Yeah.
He wants us to be well so that spirit won't be transferable and we'll bear good fruit in due season. So it's one of the things where, Pastor Rebecca, the body of Christ have a lot of people doing ministry, but the most effective ministry we're going to do is when we're made whole and when we're made well, and then that spirit of surety, that spirit of confidant, that spirit of the power of the Holy Ghost will be transferable to those who God will allow us to be in front of and share with about the power of God. So I am just so glad that your books, as you said, you've written five of them, that your books, and I'm glad you're highlighting them today because I've read all of them. And I know some men have been blessed by them. I've been, again, to witness many of those book clubs. I've traveled with you. I've seen thousands of your books, you know, being sold, like you said, into the world. And now the body of Christ is embracing your works. So I'm just thankful that, again, you was under the unction of the Spirit when you wrote these books. And God is now being glorified through the writing of your books. And I pray that your listenership really would not overlook or miss the opportunity for them to be freed up by the Spirit of the Lord that's on your life.
Amen. Thank you, honey. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, to God be the glory. I'm going to take another call. But before I do that, I want to acknowledge Rhonda White, who's with us for the first time. This is my first time meeting her, and she's in the chat room. And I just want to acknowledge her on today. She had posted her website in the chat room, and I took a look at it, Pastor Anthony, while you were speaking. I want to encourage all of the listeners to go to Rhonda's website. It's www.rhondawhite.com. That's RhondaWhite.com is one of her websites. And then she has another website, the one that I looked at, which is www.soaringrelationshipsthatwilllast.com. .ning.com. Amen. And I want you to go over this woman. I briefly glanced at your website, Rhonda. I don't know much about you. I do see a book here that says stop going into the tent. Stop going in the tent without any intent. My God, that is powerful. So there's a book there that I want you to take a look at. It's a top seller. It's a relationship book that promotes inner wholeness, self-worth, celibacy. Can you say celibacy? Fidelity, and helps develop purpose, powerful, and prepared singles for marriage. Teaches you to become the type of mate they want to attract. My God, you got to be what you want to attract. You got to be first the type of mate that you are trying to attract. And this website has a lot of powerful stuff on there. Rhonda is thanking me in the chat room. No, thank you, Rhonda, for stopping by. It is my goal to highlight as many women of God as I can. So I'm going to have you on the guest if you will come. Amen. To just highlight you and your ministry. I see a lot of powerful stuff going on there. So go on over and check out Rhonda White. Amen. I believe she must be, I don't know. I don't know what her title is, but I know she's in the fivefold ministry. So go and check out her website. Amen. Over there. And let us go ahead and take another call. God bless you, Rhonda. Keep up the good work. Area code 703, you're on the air. Welcome to Woman to Woman. God bless you. Area code 703, you're on the air. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Okay, the phone lines are open. You can call in to 646-652-4832 and be a part of the show today. I need you to call in. I didn't have a guest today. I don't normally do 2 hours. If I'm doing it just me, that's why I have an open phone line so that you all can call in and help me to do this ministry. How many of you know that just one person doesn't have all of the answers? Amen. And that together we can win souls for Christ. Amen. So I want you to call in 646-652-4832. In the chat room, Rhonda White was saying earlier that we have to let the pain go, let the unforgiveness go, so that you can grow and glow. Amen. I like that a lot. And Pastor Larry said you cannot control what people do, but you can control your response. Listen, as soon as you say yes to God, my husband, Pastor Anthony, said this in the Bible study last week, as soon as you say yes wholeheartedly to God, that you fully surrender, watch out because trouble is coming. But you don't have to worry about that. Listen, if you're walking with the Lord, you can expect warfare. If you're walking with the Lord, you can expect warfare. Pastor Anthony says if the devil's leaving you alone, then you might need to reexamine your walk with God. If the devil's not coming against you, if he's leaving you alone, you might need to reexamine your walk with God. Amen. So warfare is normal. And one of my books, Don't Die in the Wilderness, I talk about warfare, amen, spiritual warfare in the wilderness. And we have a hand raised, so we're going to take a call. But don't die in the wilderness. If you are called to ministry, you want to read Don't Die in the Wilderness. If you're going through a hard time right now, you want to read Don't Die in the Wilderness, amen. That book is going to help you to make it through these tough times, amen. It's also going to prepare you for being whole in the ministry. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have a hand raised. Area code 404. You're on the air. Welcome to Woman to Woman.
Hello there, Rich Queen. This is Pastor Rhonda. I was in the chat room. I called in. I'm enjoying your show.
God bless you, Pastor. I knew you were fivefold. I didn't see it. I was briefly in your website, but I just discerned that, you know, the Lord had you in some type of leadership position because you are doing a lot on your website to lead the people towards wholeness and towards healing. So I see prayer. I see a lot of good stuff going on over there. God bless you and welcome. Thank you for calling in.
Well, thank you. I was just going through. The Lord sometimes directs me a different time to go through and see who's on live on Blog Talk. I've been with them almost 3 years and on TalkShoe.com almost 3 years. And every once in a while, he'll tell me to just go through and listen. And he told me to click on your show, and I'm glad I did. It's a blessing. And just want to continue to encourage you. And we must try and help promote your books. We have an authors network we've had for almost 3 years. And also a women's revival network. The Lord has blessed me to do a women's revival. We did it 4 years in a row. nationwide interdenominational women's revival and fellowship, and we have 22 ladies to preach in a 7-day period. And that'll be coming up again, Lord's will, next year in August. So I would love to talk with you by phone and possibly have you as one of our speakers. But definitely that book you just mentioned about the wilderness, the women on the Revival Network, they need that. So we need to get together and see what we can do to try to encourage them to purchase that.
Amen. Praise God. To God be the glory. We definitely do. And I would really appreciate being a part of that authors network and doing anything that I can to help to promote the authors that are already there, because that's what I do. You know, we as women of God have to get to the point where we are beyond hating on each other and being jealous of what God is doing in each other's lives. And even when before I became a Christian, women, they liked me, and they had good reason not to like me, because I was not one who was conducive to, my behavior was not conducive to being a likable woman by other women. Yeah. Men loved me, but the women hated me. And I did not do right, you know, by my sisters. So now I just thank God that as I am strengthened, that he is allowing me to go back and strengthen my sisters. And one thing that I do, because, you know, the old you always tries to come back, you know, when you've been renewed and when you've been, God has healed you and delivered you from things, the devil will always try to come back with some of the old things that used to hinder you. And one of the things that keeps coming back to me is women even not being able to receive me in the ministry, even sometimes in my own church. And the thing about that is I am not receiving the lies of the devil, you know, because the thing about it is that my thing is I love women. You know, I love all women, and I'm not going to fight with my sisters. You know, that's one thing that I've made up my mind, that I'm not going to fight with my sisters, because we don't have to compete with each other.
Pastor, the Lord had given me a statement. I share it with people, and they said, oh, my God, I love it. And it says, we are not competitors, but we are kingdom components. And those components, when you study the word C-O-M-P-O-N-E-N-T, it is a part that works together with another. So giving an analogy is with the screw being in the hinge of the door to keep the door on the frame. But if the screw and the hinge are fighting each other as competitors and not a component to work together, then the door is not going to stay on the frame. It's coming down. So the Lord gave that to me, that we are not competitors, but kingdom components. Hallelujah. So, yes, and you're right, and I'm so glad to hear it. A lot of times I'll go on different shows and, you know, people are so stringent and very, you know, iron cut and that type of thing. And, you know, I always acknowledge people that come in the chat room or on the phone and let them give their website, because we're on the same team. And it would be a bad basketball team if the center and the forward were fighting each other. That'd be crazy. They wouldn't win.
Right.
If the guard and the center was fighting, I mean, what would you get done? I mean, imagine the quarterback fighting the linebacker. I mean, it's just absolutely ludicrous. So, you know, I just tell people, get over it, because God has breathed. You have the breath of God inside of you. I have the breath of God inside of me. Don't be jealous. Don't hate and celebrate if I use my breath. Now, you sitting over there out of breath, and you got plenty of breath, and then you looking at me going, look at this girl. She got all these websites and all. She published 4 books at one time and 3 CDs on the same day. I said, the breath of God is inside of you, just like it is in me, and I obey. And that's why God gives me a lot of creativity, because I spend time with the Creator.
Hallelujah. Now you went through that pretty fast. Let me go back, because you did put that in the chat room. Let's talk about those, and I don't have it available anymore, but it says that praise the Lord, bless the Lord, bless me to release 6 books. Wait, you just said 4, but it says 6
books. I have 6 now, But on the same day, February the 3rd.
Yeah,
February the 3rd, 2007. Yeah, four books and three CDs were released on the same day. It was seven babies in the spirit released on the same day.
Wait a minute.
Man, amen.
This is too powerful. I love this. Okay, so you have, she has six books. I'm speaking with Pastor Rhonda White, and she has, she's an author, very prolific, and she has six books and three CDs. But this is it. This is where obedience is key, because four of the books and the three CDs were released at the same time.
Yeah,
my
same day.
The glory, hallelujah.
And I'll tell you, anyone that's out there, the Lord has mandated me for 2011, sis, to be a birthing book baby coach this year to busy people like pastors, CEOs, executives, speakers who've been speaking for years. This is one of the mandates, in addition to winning souls and encouraging. My father was the late Bishop Jesse White. He pastored almost 50 years before he passed and went on to be with the Lord. My mother's been gone for several years, since 93, but Daddy passed in 2001, and I was blessed by the Lord to be the vocal trainer and director of my dad's choir. And so when the Lord had told me to do a CD of a cappella hymns as my top seller CD, I'm out of it now. I sell out of it all the time when I get an order, and it's gone quickly. And but people love it. They miss the hymns, and it's just a medley of hymns, you know, like Great is Thy Faithfulness, and, you know, all of the old time, you know, God will take care of you, be not dismayed, whatever betides, and just, I mean, How Great Thou Art, and it's just a little bit of each one, and I keep going from song to song. And but when he told me to do all of these things on the same day, I'm not going to lie to you. I was saying, how can I do this, Daddy? I've never published a book. I don't know what to do. And he says, well, I'll show you what to do. And he started giving me the book, sis. Yeah. And I wanted to commit suicide three times. My story is in the top seller with the stop sign on it. Men and women stop going in a tent without any intent. It tells about how I wasn't whole years ago. I married as a virgin at 27 years old. And didn't realize that I really didn't have a personal relationship with the Lord. I was going on, you know, with my dad in the church, and, you know, my dad had the largest church where we were living, and, you know, just being from a huge family of nine, I'm the baby girl, and all of us sing, some of us play instruments, and so, you know, being in all of the hype or the, you know, we were serious, so it wasn't a put-on, but I really didn't realize, sis, I wasn't whole until later on. And those suicidal tendencies that I had, I could be in the house with a lot of people, and they would say, where's Rhonda at? And I would be in my room, and I would hear them asking about me, and I would just feel so lonely. And I said, why am I going through this? And the Lord just had to tell me. He says, you have to ask me to restore your hope in me. You've put it in me and people around you. But I tell people this now. I said, tell the Lord, Lord, please restore my hope in you. Fill up my holes. Fill my holes and make me whole. And when I did that, fill up my holes and make me whole, that is the day that I was delivered. And he started writing poems. I call them mental treasures, ego inspiration mental treasures. And he started writing them through me. I started putting them in frames, sis, and selling them when I would go and preach. I preached at Bishop Jake's church and have been everywhere. Thank the Lord for all those opportunities to preach the word. But you could be preaching and not whole, telling you. I mean, that's why I can pick up that spirit a mile away, because I've been there where they're doing a bunch of screaming and shouting and talking and singing, but it's a sounding brass, tickling cymbal, because there's no fullness in there. Yeah, I can pick it up quick.
My goodness, and you're right. And that's what my husband was saying earlier. Pastor Anthony was saying that a lot of women are out there, and men, and we're preaching, and we're singing, and we're leading worship, and we're not whole. And that's how I wrote The Cry of a Woman's Heart, Healing the Pain of the Past. I was in the mega church, sitting in the third, fourth row, and watching as the women were going by,
doing the offerings, and the Lord was showing me their pain. And I couldn't handle it. I was like, God, why are you showing me their pain? I can't do anything about it. And he said, yes, you can. And that's when he gave me The Cry of a Woman's Heart, which was my second book. The first book was for my pain, because I was in pain and I was in denial. And then the second book was to help my sisters. But the thing about it is, you can see it. I can see it. And you. That's why we write. And I thank God for you that you called this day. I'm glad he sent you my way. I told my husband yesterday, I said, baby, I want to write hundreds of books, you know, and you have to meet someone else who's prolific, like very prolific, who's just writing books. I'm like, it's just so great because
Guess what, sis? What the Lord has mandated for next year. That's why we have to get connected by phone. You can call my business line on the site, so I don't repeat my direct number on the line, or you can see my email on rhondawhite.com. But the business line, you can definitely leave a message, and I'll get back with you. But this is so amazing because next year he has mandated for me to release 11 books. And what? Yes, and listen now. I have them almost done. There's 7 new ones, and I'm redoing the 4. Yeah, so there'll be the first four that were released on the same day. They're getting new book covers, and he's adding a little more to them. So they'll be like second editions, but there'll be 7 new ones, Lord's will. And this is what he's told me. It has to be done. And so, you know, some of those titles coming out are, you know, learning how to shut down, shut up, and shut in to begin again. And it talks about the experience of going, the Lord had, like, I'm starting a rest and silence retreat on Monday. And I do these periodically for about a month as he leads me to. And sometime I'll go out of town for that time, and sometime I'll just stick around in Atlanta, in which I'm staying around here. But when I did one in Hawaii, I have friends that live there. I was there over a month. And when I came, I was fasted, no food, no water, no talking, no phone, no email. He wouldn't even let me open my mouth to praise him, because I'm a singer and a worshiper. And he said, I want you to worship me with your mind and your heart, not your mouth. And girl, that thing, it blew my mind, because he told me put tape over my mouth, because I'm used to, hallelujah, oh God, we praise you, you know, I'm just there, you know. But God said, I want you to close your mouth, and I want you to worship me with your mind and your heart, because I'm going to take you to another dimension. And truly it did, sis. You have so much power with your mind and your heart. That's why the Bible says, guard your heart and mind with all diligence. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The heart and the mind are powerful. Now, the mouth is powerful, too. But that heart and that mind, that heart, see, everything starts in the mind. You got to think it before you say it. So the mind and what you're thinking in your spirit and your heart about people and yourself, that is so powerful. So God had me for several days. I had tape on my mouth. I'm telling you, I could not talk. I could not use my mouth, and I didn't eat. I didn't drink. It was amazing. And so I'm talking about that in one of the books. And then another book is titled Send Him Back to the Garden, talking about men who say that they're ready, but they're not. Send Him Back to the Garden. It's not a derogatory book, but God said he never intended for women to try to take care of themselves. We're always supposed to, he intended for us to be covered. And it's a shame that myself, I've been single since my divorce over 12 years, and believing God for my Boaz, and no more bozos, but my Boaz. And so, you know, and so, so, but it's a shame that so many single women are around here without a covering. And God never intended for that. That's why it wasn't good for Ruth and Naomi to be walking around with no sons and no husband, because they could get raped. They could just be taken advantage of. And I believe there's a rampant, this is part of it, not all of it, a rampant selfishness among a lot of the men, I'm talking in the body of Christ. And I look at even well-known preachers, you know, and I love them. And I know that they may have had bad experiences, but I know that within 8, 10, 15 years, you can ask God if you could prophesy over me. I know you can find you a good, godly, you know, wife that loves God and they could be a partner with you, but like, you know, Bishop Noel Jones and Donnie McClurkin and all these, and I look and some of them have either never been married or have been single for years, to me it's just not healthy, Pastor. It really is not healthy. Because if God said it's not good for man to be alone, who the heck we think we are? Well, we just don't want to commit to one person. We want to go in and out of these cities doing conferences and revivals and to be with whoever we want to be with so we don't have nobody to answer to. I believe in my heart, God put this here. It was not me, but I'm saying this doesn't make any sense. When you look around, single women and men, Yolanda Adams and others, I mean, powerful. And I'm not saying we're perfect. They not perfect. The women not perfect. But I'm sure that in the power God has, sis, he's able to fix us. You know, I love that hymn, Lord, fix me. Lord, fix me. My dad used to sing that. Oh, I just love that hymn. And we do need to ask God to fix us. I'm not perfect, but I know if you can prophesy over people. I have one friend, been pastoring 17 years. His church has never had a first lady. Never. And when I went there to preach, they didn't want me to leave. They said, please don't go. He pastors us so hard. He's not sensitive. And they dying for that balance because women bring something that a man can't bring. And he's been pastoring that church since he started, almost 18 years, and there's been no wife. He divorced years ago and started this church. He was married 9 years in the beginning, but because of that hurt, like you said, he's never let it go because his wife left him, and it was embarrassing. He didn't leave her. She left him. So it was embarrassing, and he's never remarried. So there's a rampant, I think it's just either the fruit of the Spirit is not prevalent in our lives so we can show love, because I told him he's hard and mean a lot, even us being friends, and he's, I think, just afraid of the anointing on me, and he doesn't really believe in women preachers. I mean, he had me come, but they called me Sister Rhonda, which I told him titles don't matter to me, but I just think it's all of these different things that caused them to see a woman that could really be a blessing. They could be a dynamic duo for God's glory, but they're scared. I run across that a lot with what God has put in me, and I'm not a hard person to get along with, but it's so many parts of that, sis, of looking at the powerful men across the United States and women, singers and preachers, black and white, that are not married, and for years, something's wrong with that, over 5 or 8 years, something's going on. You know, and I, even with myself, I've been single over 12, but I've desired, and I'm praying, and I'm not bugging God, so I do desire it, but I believe a lot of people are either scared, and God has not given us the spirit of fear, or they don't want to commit, or they like their freedom, or they like, girl, I've been single so long, I ain't even trying to bring nobody up in here. That's selfishness, because marriage is for the earth realm. Jesus said marriage will not exist in heaven. So if we don't enjoy it here, you ain't going to be no marriage in heaven. Jesus said it. You know, so when you go get a chance to experience it, and so what do you want to do, fornicate all your life and preach the word? Because God made us to be able to have to make love with the opposite sex. He made our spirits and bodies that way. It's for the Lord, but he put that part of us in us. It doesn't have to dominate us. But how do you look saying you're just gonna be single the rest of your life? So that means that you're not gonna enjoy the sexual part of what God made in us, and you're okay with that. And the temptation comes, and sometimes you fall with married and single people. Because why? You've determined you ain't getting married. You don't wanna get married. That's something.
That's right. You said a lot right there. You are absolutely right. I was just thinking either all of these people have that Paul anointing where they're not burning or they're fornicated. You know, it's one or the other. But how, you know, and for the men, I think it's harder, you know, I think it's harder for the men to abstain than it is for the women. I hear a lot of women that are saying that they're celibate, but I also see a lot of couples in the church who are not married and they're engaging in fornication, you know, and they want to be married. There are a lot of women in the church, a lot of single women in the church that want to be married, but then I say, well, where are the men? But then when you look at the male leaders that you pointed out, Noel Jones, Pastor McClurkin, and you say, well, then why aren't they married? You know, I mean, it can't be that difficult for them.
Yeah, the list just goes on. I mean, and I didn't really notice this, sis, until God started writing the book through me, sending back to the garden.
Yeah.
There's something that happened. See, in our spiritual intuitiveness, and of course the dog has instinct, but we also have spiritual insight and intuitiveness, and we have instinct. And there is no way in the ham, Sam, sis, that God in the garden would tell man. He said this, it is not good for man to be alone, so I will make him a helpmeet that is suitable for him. There's no way God in the first part of the whole Bible in the beginning of time would audibly say that. And then we determine, like a Halle Berry, I love her, but if you made two choices, which I did as well, you know, I made two wrong choices. I married as a virgin 27, and a year and a half later, I met a gentleman at a T.D. Jakes Bible conference. We started dating. I moved here to Atlanta with him. He's still here. He goes to Bishop J. Long's church. I was Bishop Long's herbalist for a few years ago, but my ex and I are not together anymore, but he was a minister, the second gentleman I married, after my first one was a bigamist. Since we were married, and I didn't know he was married to another woman the whole time we were married, and we knew each other 6 years. My story is in the book. I'm telling you, it's powerful. You know, we were married and found out that he was married to another woman but never divorced her. And he told me he was never married. So I found papers. We had been married, I think, about a year, year and a half. And so our whole marriage was null and void. It was like it didn't happen. And then almost 2 years later, I met a gentleman. I was at a T.D. Jakes Bible conference in Indianapolis at the RCA Dome and met a gentleman. And we started talking, and he wanted to, you know, start seeing me. And I won't say for sure if I was healed then, but it was almost 2 years, so that's enough time, but that still doesn't say that you're healed, because that was a lot of hurt from having 1,000 people at your wedding and being a virgin and then finding out the man that you were engaged with 2 years and knew 6 years. He just blatantly lied to you and said he was never married. And then what tops the cake is finding out that when you married him, it's not a good marriage because he's still married to the first wife that you didn't even know about. So, you know, getting through that hurt and betrayal and then marrying again, and then the preacher tried to abuse me, sis. And I would run out the house, and we would be discussing things, you know, about the bills and about different things, and he would just, his anger, and I asked his sister, why is he so angry? And she said he's never forgiven our mother because mom left us. She walked out of in the house, five of us, and left us in the house, and mom's dead, and said, my brother's never forgiven mom, and she's been dead and gone. So what you were talking about forgiveness, he carried that, and any woman that would get close to him, he was trying to pay his mama back. I didn't know why he was so angry. And so I'm trying to be a good wife and keeping clean and never said no to sex and, you know, make a love. I mean, I was doing everything I possibly could because I didn't want another divorce like what happened with the first situation with the bigamy. It was crazy. And so I finally talked to Bishop Long when I was there, and I told him what was going on. And he said, well, you're not a punching bag. Don't let him hit you, but I'm not going to tell you to leave. He says, we'll give you counseling. And my ex didn't want to go to counseling. He had been preaching since the 70s. He was a seasoned preacher, and he didn't want to go to counseling. So when he wouldn't get better, sis, I one day here in Atlanta got my friends to help me when he was at work, and I got my stuff out of the house, the new 3,000-square-foot home, and I left while he was at work and never went back. Yeah. So here I am telling you, I was under the age of 40, divorced twice, and totally never thought. I don't have any children this day. I'm 45. But just believing God and trusting him and thanking him, and I know that, and that divorce was 97, I trust him, and I know that there is a man of God that honors God and that loves himself, because that's one thing I didn't know before. You can't marry somebody that doesn't love themselves, because that's why he was able to attack me, you see, is when they don't love themselves. Sis. Yeah, they don't know how to love you if they don't love themselves.
You don't. That's the truth. They do not know how to love you. They cannot possibly love you if they don't know how to love themselves. And that is, there's definitely a disconnect in the kingdom of God, in the church, between the men and the women of God. Pastor Larry's in the chat room, and he was questioning a statement that was made earlier about men not being able to stay single, and the great leaders not marrying. And I had made the statement, I think what I said was either they have that anointing that Paul had that he talked about where he wasn't burning, or they're fornicating because they're burning. So
well, to tell you the truth, the one pastor I told you about, my friend that's had a church almost 18 years now, he has tried, he tried to get me to have sex with him several times because we were, you know, we were friends and we would talk about it. And, you know, I was single, he was single, but he would never wanted, he never wanted to see me as a future wife because he was scared of the anointing. That's what I'm trying to tell you. He saw and knew that we would be a good couple, a dynamic duo for God. But he is so dominating and hard. He knew I wouldn't deal with it. And he knew God wouldn't let him hurt me. So we kept it as friends. But he did several times, says, try to break me. He said, you know you need it, girl. You acting all holy, talking about slapping and strapping. Why you teach people that? You know you need it. And I said, no, I'm waiting for my husband, and I may need it, but I'm fine. I'm going to take that sexual energy and convert it into creative power and create some things that's going to generate assets. Assets and not liabilities. You know? Yeah,
amen.
So I'm telling you, but he did try this. So like you said, a lot of my fornicators, if he had gotten a woman to say yes, I wouldn't say yes to him. He wanted to do phone sex. All this had been past your 17 years. But like you said, they're acting like that they're keeping the word, but a lot of them, they not married, but they are having sex, a lot of them, I'm telling you.
Amen. Amen. And, as I said, there's a conversation going on in the chat room. I see Pastor Larry saying that when you talk about it, you stir up emotions that need to be asleep. Yeah, that's true too. But, you know, the Bible does talk about sex, and the Bible does talk about the fact that we need to abstain from sex and that we need to not fornicate. We do talk about sex, and you see it everywhere. You see it on the TV. When you go outside, you see innuendos of people's sexuality. So it's a very real thing. And then even in the church, I have to agree with what Pastor Rhonda White is saying, because I just counseled a young lady not too long ago who had fallen in, you know, with a gentleman in the church. But he didn't want to marry her. And then he even denied the fact that they were in a relationship. You know, and the women, we just need to stop being hoodwinked and bamboozled by these men that want to go to bed with us but do not want to commit to us. I have to say it. I just have to say it like that because I'm meeting far too many women who are being led on by men, or who are being seduced by men, or who are being misled by men who want to sleep with them but don't want to marry them, don't want to make that commitment. And a man will push up on you. Yes, he will.
Yes.
And
that,
we got
that
to
has
talk
happened
about
a lot.
We have to talk about it because too
yeah,
many people are cycle of their sexuality, and God gave us sexuality, and this
yes.
is something that women.
That's how we got here,
so.
Sis. That's how we got
yeah,
here,
awesome.
And the reason is I grew up in the church. I've been a PK all my life, and I believe if we had the proper teaching of explaining to people the purpose of you being here, number one. Why God put you here to save souls, that's number one, Matthew 28:18-20. Okay, go ye therefore make disciples of men, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Number two, you are to serve God through serving people. That's Ephesians 2:10. Long ages ago, God planned that we should live these lives in helping others. And number three, you know, you're here to bring glory to God and not shame. And
yes.
that's 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. Isaiah 43:6. I created you for my glory. And those read in the New Living Translation that way. But so those three basic foundational things, whether you read Rick Warner's book or not, I really didn't have an understanding of that. My dad taught a lot. But that revelation for elevation is what took me over, that regardless if I'm married or not, I'm supposed to be winning souls, number one. I'm supposed to be bringing glory, serving God through serving others. I'm supposed to be helping somebody. Who did I help this week, today? You know, then number three, I'm supposed to be bringing glory to God in what I eat, drink, or whatever I do. And when you get in that
yeah.
consciousness and you're taught that early on, then you don't go out and do things and have babies at 14 or 15. And if you're not talking to your children, first about the purpose of them being here, number two, God created the institution of marriage for him to receive glory from two vessels coming together as a dynamic duo, and babies are created. So sex sex is a part of life and, God, and making love, and God wants us to be intimate with him, so then when we get with our mate, it goes over in that. But a lot of kids are learning from the school and their friends. So if we don't talk about it, this is why it's happening. It's on TV. I mean, they're cursing on TV. They're having sex on TV, regular TV, not Showtime, regular TV. So,
yeah.
You know, we can't stand back and not educate because, you know, it's just not good. And I know, you know, Pastor Larry's saying about mentioning it and talking about it, but a lot of times I believe that when people are not using creativity, that releases energy. Napoleon Hill talks about in his book about sexual transmutation. And when I was reading it and thinking, Grow Rich, I said, what is sexual transmutation? He said it is taking the energy of the sexual energy that God put in each of us, okay, like an animal. An animal has to breed every year. Now, they're wilder than us because they can breed with a bear over here and then go on the other side of the mountain next year and get just whatever bear is ready. To me, that's doggish. You know what I'm saying? And so that's the way some of the animals breed when you look at the Discovery Channel. But with us, an eagle, when you study an eagle, when they're with a mate, they stay with that mate, sis, until one of them dies. Because I study the eagle. It's a powerful bird. It doesn't go from one woman that's ready to breed over on the mountain over there in the next tree next year. That eagle stays with the same mate. So what am I saying? Napoleon Hill says when you don't take that good energy sexually and transmute it and transfer it into creative power, you're sitting there on overload, and you're going to explode. You're going to end up having sex with somebody that has AIDS or just whoever you can get your hands on, even with you reading the Word of God. That helps you, but I don't know if Pastor Larry's married, but a lot of times when people are married, they can say, yeah, they can say that don't talk about it. But see, when we're out here single and we want to mate, I get through those times that are tough because I've been married before, so that even makes it harder. But I was a virgin until 27, and men were constantly trying to get me to go to bed, and they rejected me when I wouldn't break and let them have sex. And even men in the church, I never dated a sinner in my life. And I was hurt by Christian men, sis, but if I didn't take a stand when I was a virgin of 27, I would have been pregnant, had sex with several of those preachers and single men in the church if I hadn't stood. But it did cross my mind because I'm a spiritual vessel, but I'm a human vessel. So you got to talk about it.
You were tempted. Yeah, you were tempted. Amen. Well, I sure appreciate you.
God bless you.
Calling you. God bless you. Thank you so much for calling and being so candid. I must have you on as a guest. I would love to spend 2 hours with you and just give you the floor because you have so much in you that the Lord has given you to share. And I'm looking forward to the relationship that we're going to develop in the upcoming months, weeks, days. Just really looking forward to what God's going to do with our relationship. Thank you so much, Pastor White, for calling.
Thank you so much. God bless. All right, bye-bye.
God bless you. Amen. Well, I tell you, I want you to go back, if you just tuned in, listen to the archives. I have a couple of people on the board in this last 7 minutes. I just want to see if they have any remarks or comments. I sure appreciate Pastor Rhonda White calling. And, my God, go to her website, rhondawhite.com, and see what's going on over there. Area code 201, you're on the air. Welcome to One Minute to One Minute. Do you have any remarks or comments? Area code 201. Okay, that person doesn't want to be on the air. Area code 908, welcome to One Minute to One Minute. You're on the air. Do you have any remarks or comments? Amen. Area code 908.
Yes.
Okay, well, I could have
let you. Can you
hear
me?
Yes, I can hear you. Yes.
Yeah, you know what happens when we're on mute? It may take us a minute to get it off.
Okay. Is this Prophetess Lalisa Williams?
Yes, it is. How are you, dear?
God bless you.
Oh, God bless you. And I was listening to Pastor Rhonda White. A powerful, powerful woman of God, and, you know, just so many things that you all were saying that is so true, especially, you know, when it comes to our young people, or, you know, just, you know, women, in terms of our sexuality, in terms of dating and marriage, and I've seen for myself how so many women who desire to be married. And I'm married 21 years, but certainly not without challenges and what have you. And I've talked to women who are single, who want to be married, and they're in the church. I talked to some that are even in the church. They are outright, you don't even have to call it fornication, though we know it is, but they're just outright having sex. They have live-in boyfriends or whatever you want to call it, girlfriends, whatever. They seem so confused. I talked to a lady. She wanted me to pray with her. She's been living with a man for 11 years. She loves the Lord. She's in the church, and she says, "But I want to go, but I can't go because I need his financial stability." How sad is that?
How sad is that?
And we have the evidence of all the sex in the church every time an unmarried church member gets pregnant. It's a outward reminder. There's no way we should not be talking about it. There's no way that we have these little children who are now going to be looking at someone for answers as to, as soon as they go wherever and they read the story of mommy, daddy, and baby, and when they see it's just me and you, you see, they're going to have questions.
Those questions
don't get answered, it's going to build up and they're going to become a part of that nobody's business. That's how you get to the nobody's business. It's because we keep hiding the truth, and we act as though it doesn't exist. So anyway, God bless you, Pastor Rebecca. I know you're almost out of time. Love you.
Well, I love you, too. And everybody, I just want you to know that's Lalisa J. Williams. She is, I tell you, an amazing woman of God. She was my guest last week right here, Woman to Woman. If you missed that broadcast, you want to go back and listen to the archives. She is a former prostitute. And the Lord did deliver her. Not only that, but she was molested, raped by her uncle, and for many years led to believe that she was his girlfriend. And so the Lord delivered her and set her free. She's a former high school dropout. Now she's in school going for her doctorate degree. And the Lord has delivered. She is a preacher woman now, and she is an author of some powerful, powerful books. You can go to her website at www.lalisajwilliams.com. She is also the owner of Performance Strategies, which is a company that will help you to get on the path to success for you and your employees, if you're an employer, or for you and your ministry staff, if you're a pastor. This woman is definitely one that you would want to speak with, and the Lord uses her mightily. So last week's show was powerful. She gave her testimony. Go back to blogtalkradio.com/power and listen to the archives. Lalisa, thank you so much. And we'll be doing a conference. When is that? The conference is April the 1st. But before that, on March the 12th, we have a publishing seminar. Where is that?
Yes.
Give us the information on that, Lalisa.
Yeah, March 12th, Saturday from 9 to 3 is at the Wyndham Hotel in Newark, New Jersey by the Newark Airport on Routes 1 and 9 South at the Wyndham Hotel. You can register on that same website that you gave out, LalisaJWilliams.com. And then the Kingdom Women's Empowerment Convention because we're doing it big, is April 1st and 2nd. So it's a Friday night. We have Pastor Tanya Blount out of New York. She will be ministering on Friday night. And also some other people will be there, dancers and singers. Then on Saturday, it's all-day speakers. You, Pastor Rebecca, you will be one of the speakers. We also have Dr. Virginia Booth out of Philadelphia coming. You know, she's been traveling all over. Powerful, powerful woman. My God, $10 registration fee for that conference. 2 days, $10. Listen, we want people to come and experience God's life. Changing, life elevating, life renewing, life regenerating power. He is just, I mean, you cannot miss the move of God in this place on April 1st and 2nd at the same place, the same Wyndham Hotel, right there on Route 1 and 9. Friday, we're going to start at 7 p.m. Saturday, we will start at Saturday morning, 9. Saturday, we will have, you know, continental breakfast. We know people will come and we will have something to nourish them as well midway. But Saturday, we should be there all day. Come, listen, when you get into the, I learned, Pastor Rebecca, when you get into the presence of God for real, you don't be just wanting to run out. So if you can't make the morning half on Saturday, make the second half. So people would say, well, people can't stay all day. That's you people can't stay all day. I can stay all day. And other people that I know that want a real deliverance, once his anointing begins to flow, girl, we can stay all night if we have to.
Yes, amen. Well, I'm looking forward to it, to everything. I'll be there on the 12th, March the 12th. I'll also be there on April the 1st and 2nd. I'm honored to be one of your speakers on the 2nd. That's LalishaJWams.com, L-I-L-I-S-A.
We're honored to have you, Pastor Rebecca. If you can't remember all that, people, you could just go to Facebook. I love Facebook. It's so easy. You just go to Facebook, put in someone's name, and everything will come up right there. I thank God for Mr. Steve Zuckerberg for really making this tool that is so useful and so simple, has so simplified things. And, you know, sometimes people make things so complicated. It's very simple. God doesn't want anyone left out. So, you know, bring people. I mean, at $10, you can almost bring 4 or 5 people. And Pastor Rebecca will be there. She'll also have her books there March 12th. If you ever wanted to write a book, promote your book. Look at Pastor Rebecca. Look at how she says her book is blowing up even more so 8 years later. You want to hear from women like that. You want to hear from people like that who are going to be there on March the 12th to tell you about their journey, about how to stay faithful and trusting in God for the overflow. He said that we are the head and not the tail. He said that we shall be the lender and not the borrower. God is going to make good on every word and promise that he has spoken. It shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. So you've already sold 100 copies. Come and learn how you can sell 1,000 and 10,000. Listen, I can't wait, Pastor Rebecca.
Yes, amen. Yes, amen. Well, I tell you, we're out of time, but not out of talk. So I want to invite you to come back on next week and be a part of our show next week right here at 1 o'clock. And I want you to tell you, to, go listen to Pastor Larry Thornton, Moments in the Word, right here on Block Talk Radio. LaLisa also has a show right here on Block Talk Radio. You want to come and be a part of all that God is doing here at Block Talk Radio, because there's a lot of content, and we want to make sure that we are partaking of everything that he has. Go to my website at nccmonline.org. You'll find out more information about the ministry. I haven't updated my calendar. I need an assistant, but I will be updating my calendar tonight, putting everything on there. Go to Facebook. You'll find everything in Facebook. Rebecca's Pastor Rebecca Simmons. Hook up with me. Hook up with LaLisa J. Williams. Hook up with Pastor Rhonda White. Hook up with Pastor Larry Thornton. We are on the mission field for the Lord. Amen. So we just thank God for you all. Thank you so much for being with me today, LaLisa. Glad you stopped by. Amen. So go in peace. We'll see you next week right here on Block Talk Radio. com/power. My guest will be Apostle Karen Detweiler. So I will see you next week right here on blocktalkradio.com/power. Go in peace and serve the Lord. I love you. Bye bye. See you next week.
You're listening to The Sound.
I just want to tell the truth. I just want to tell the truth. I just want to tell the truth.